specifically because of her expertise around storytelling. And it's so important to be able to tell your story. And we're going to get into that with our guest this evening. So to those of you who are listening, and whether you're running a business and you really want to get your message out there and have your product or service and your brand break away from the crowd, or even if you don't own a business, but you just want to connect with people when you go out into the world, or you want to be out on social media and have more connection, and it's such a crowded market out there on social media, it is so important for you to tell your story and even have a marketing strategy. So I would like everybody to listen very closely. We are welcoming a wonderful woman, Lynn Gladner. Lynn, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me, Noreen.
Thank you, Lynn. You're in the Detroit area, right? You're calling in tonight.
Yes.
And Lynn, you are the author of thousands of articles. You've written 8 books.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the chief creative officer of mm-hmm. a firm that you started that's based out of Detroit but works nationally, called mm-hmm. Your People LLC.
Yes, correct. That's right.
And so you do for your clients marketing, strategic marketing, digital marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
do public relations.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
specifically, you do messaging development. So why don't you tell our listeners, what is messaging development?
That's a great question, Noreen. And I really appreciate you inviting me on the show to talk about this because, I'm a writer, first and foremost. When I was a little girl, I had a corduroy-covered journal that I would put little stories and skits and poems into, and I keep it behind my desk to remind me of who I always was. When we tell stories, we reel people in. We really connect. You know what it's like when you've been riveted by a very compelling story. You just want to see what happens next. And that doesn't change in the business world. And so after spending 15 years as a journalist for magazines and newspapers nationally, I created Your People in 2007 to use those storytelling skills to build connections between organizations, both nonprofit and for-profit, and their audiences. Because, you know, we were entering the social media age at the time, and people had the illusion of connecting, but they were still by themselves. They were alone. And at the same time, we consumers have all we need. We have many choices for our purchases. And so what distinguishes one option from another? And I have found time and time again that it's the story. If there's something that pulls at your heart and really endears you to that brand, you're likely to go back again and again. And so I started this company with the idea that I would go work with organizations to tell their stories. And that has grown into both public relations and marketing communications. But the business messaging development is something that we've always done. A client will come to us and say, I need help with media outreach or with social media or with websites or blogging or whatever it is. And we end up taking a step backwards to say, well, what is your story? And the reality is often that they haven't thought about it in a very strategic way. And so we have to sit down and ask a lot of questions, really dig deep, and look to the origin story behind the organization and the people, because there's usually some kind of passion or purpose that launched this whole entity into being. And if that's not in your messaging, then you're missing out. And so what we're doing now is we're saying, you know what, you need to come to us for this. We used to do it as part of the contract because we realized that they needed it. But now we know that it's so pervasive that we want people to work with us just to articulate their story so they know the words they need to use.
So do people now realize that they need to have a story? Or are you still finding that a lot of the clients, or even if they're not clients, but they're people that are trying to get their message out there, just are under an old paradigm where you just say, well, this is my dental practice or this is my business, and just expect people to come? Or are more people awake to the fact that they need a story now?
You know, I think it goes both ways. I think that there are people who just want to bootstrap it and say it's good enough, and it may be good enough. But I find that the companies and nonprofits that are really soaring have their brand awareness, their market share because they have a compelling message, and it's strategic, and it's consistent, and it's across all communication platforms and channels, and they've put a lot of thought into it, and they're not above revisiting that as the organization evolves and realizing that the story needs to pivot as they pivot and, you know, evolve too. And so, you know, there are plenty of businesses that really maybe don't need to invest in this. They're fine as they are, and maybe that's as far as they want to go. But for organizations that really want to see some growth, this is essential. It's so important.
And it's because a story gives you a before and after, right? It tells, like, in the case of my business, it really mm-hmm. was me feeling like I had gotten so much experience when I was working in New York City and working around the world. And then when I no longer had that career, I've still felt like I saw that people outside of New York, where you're very business oriented and mm-hmm. You sort of take for granted that the people that are in that Wall Street atmosphere are coming out of business schools and things like that. When I came out of that career, I saw that people really didn't have as much, many people didn't have as much business instinct. So mm-hmm. I wanted to go out there and really help people to understand how to navigate from either starting their firm to getting mm-hmm. it stabilized or scaling their firm if they're in business, but they didn't know how to take it to the next level. So that's why I went out there. But it really is about a before and after story.
Absolutely. You know, and the human part of business is not, it's something that I think we discount way too much. You know, so your background, for example, Noreen, you've had so many amazing experiences and different locations. And I think those details are really inspiring uh-huh. for people who would work with you. And every single experience you have brings you to where you are today. And some of those are important details. And, you know, another thing that I think is so important that people don't necessarily realize is that, you know, going back to my corduroy journal from the 1970s, mm-hmm. Who I am today was there with a vengeance, with a passion when I was a kid. And then we grow up and we think, you know, I have to fall into these paths and this model, this definition of what success is. And at some point, most of us come to a point where we say, no, that doesn't work for me. I need to strike out on my own and my passion needs to drive it. So that is such an important part of any organizational story, especially for entrepreneurs and for smaller businesses that really began as passion projects or have that kind of personal component to it. And so you're right. It's about transformation. It's also about inspiration. People really need to be inspired and to feel like there's hope. And I think that business storytelling can help us with that, can take us there.
What about, this is a legitimate question, so there's a part of me when I'm telling my story that mm-hmm. that maybe wants to make it seem more perfect than my life might have been, you know, like there's peaks and valleys in everybody's life, but because our society often wants to paint a perfect picture of the business, we often won't tell parts of our story. Not that mine's so bad, mm-hmm. folks. No, it's not at all. But but it's just like you feel like you should just be presenting yourself as everything's wonderful and everything's perfect. What do you do with somebody who is thinking like that?
Well, I'm a big fan of showing your warts and really admitting to failures or insecurities or pivots or twists and turns in the road. You know, I started my business when the economy was tanking. I had just gotten divorced, and I was a single mother of a 1, 3, and 5-year-old. And wow. My ex-husband was a musician, so obviously I was, you know, being really scrappy to make sure I could put food on the table. It was a really trying time. And when I started the business, I shared that story very candidly. And people came to me because of it, because they felt like, you know, she was brave enough to be human and to share her fears and that it's not always perfect. And so I'm going to trust her and I'm going to work with her. And I didn't do it for the purpose of getting clients. I'm just a very transparent person. But I think when you're honest and you show a real human profile of yourself, you're rewarded for it. It's a karmic thing, you know. So I've encouraged so many clients to share their pitfalls and their stumbles in their business storytelling, and it always pays dividends. You know, I have so many examples, and it's really important. I think that we can't fear judgment. We live in this social media era where we're curating all of our public postings, but I think the real connection comes from being honest. I really do.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting. I agree with you, and yet when I was going to write, you know, for example, my website, I guess I also wanted to keep it a little bit short, but it was interesting because I was like, should I talk about that? Or, you know, like, should I talk about some mm-hmm. of the moving overseas and you know, how what caused me to leave Wall Street and things like that? I wasn't sure whether to put it in now or later. But let's talk to people who are starting their businesses, for example, and maybe they're going out there to build their website. And mm-hmm. or you can even be talking to people who might have websites that are outdated. What are some of the things that they should be including in their content that maybe they didn't think they should?
Well, websites are a really interesting example because, yes, your website should be about you and what you do, but really it should be speaking to the person who's online at 2 a.m, can't sleep, has anxieties, and lands on your website. And it should be addressing that person and what you can do to make them feel better. And so with a website, you have to really have a laser sharp focus on who your audience is and how you want them to interact with you. And you have to look at it from a perspective of how can I make their life better? And then the functionality and the content needs to come from that. So that's where details in a story are going to be incredibly important, to be ultra human. And, you know, even if, you know, obviously you're going to have your services and your packages and your fees and how it works and all of that, but you have to think about what brings somebody there. And so it's really about them. And I think, go ahead.
No, so in this case, you're telling a story that the person who's visiting your site connects with. It's really telling their story and saying, I understand your story, and that's why I can help you. And this is what I learned, and therefore I've been where you've been, and I can help you mm-hmm. through this.
Yep. Absolutely. I think it has to be about a relationship. So, and with a website, you know, you put it up there and now they have to take action. And so every single page on a website has to have a call to action, something for them to do. So you make it super easy, you know, hey, here's the information we're giving you. Click here, do this, do that, come get in touch with us, and make it really simple. And that's true in eBlast. That's another thing we do a lot for clients, or, you know, email newsletters.
E-blasts.
Yes.
What is an e-blast?
It's an email newsletter that you might send out, like a monthly magazine or with an offer or specials that you have. An email, you know, from a business to its clientele. And again, why should they open it? Everybody gets tons of emails every day.
Right.
So what makes it worth reading? It has to speak to them and their concerns, make their life better, and have easy, simple opportunities to interact. So calls to action in every article that you have. And great opportunities that are not just selling, but that are saying, we want to engage in a mutually beneficial relationship. And so, you know, the story comes first. So you know who you are. You know what you bring to the table and what the purpose is and how you make meaning. And then it's about building that relationship and nurturing that relationship in a truly mutually beneficial way in every other communication from there.
I heard you say how you make meaning. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by how does somebody make meaning?
So the people we work with are mm-hmm. Usually mission driven, whether it's for profit or not for profit. And there's a why, there's a bigger purpose to what they do. So yes, we all want to make money. And we'd like to make lots of it, but it's also about making a difference. And so we really, you know, we have clients that are in the education space. We have clients that are nonprofits. We have entrepreneurs. But what ties them all together is that not only do they want to do well, they want to do good. And so the meaning comes from that, you know, that you love what you do, you've got passion behind it, but that you truly are trying to impact in some meaningful way so that it makes the world better. And so that, you know, that's what we do. And that, frankly, this question of making meaning has been something that's been a theme throughout my career when I was a journalist and even now in business. I've always been fascinated by stories of how people make meaning in the day-to-day. Just, you know, we all have pretty ordinary lives. What's extraordinary about it that we are inspired by? So I started a podcast called Make Meaning. We try to weave that through everything we do with marketing communications because people need a why. They need something to grab onto that keeps them afloat when the days get long and arduous. And so that meaning is another distinguishing factor in business storytelling and, frankly, in business itself.
So your people, your firm, Your People LLC, you are very passionate about working with people who are trying to improve the community.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Do you work with others? Do you work with, what do you do with somebody who comes to you and says, you know, I heard about you, Lynn, and I heard about how wonderful Your People is, and I went back to my dental practice. I have a dental practice, and I just want you to help me start marketing. What would you say to somebody like that who's trying to work with you?
Well, I mean, I'd have a conversation. I'd want to learn a little bit about them as a person. And the practice, the history of the practice, who are they serving? Why are they in dentistry? And what are they looking for out of marketing? So people come to us when they have a pain point. We have schools that come to us and say, we need higher enrollments. We have lawyers that come to us and say, I need more cases. Or I've had people come to me to brand them and build their practice. You know, it's a store that needs more retail traffic, whatever it is. And they come to me when they need it right now. And so the first thing I say is it's not going to happen right now. It is a slow and steady marathon.
Creating awareness.
Awareness and brand recognition. You have to have a strategy, which is what we build for clients. Once they have their story, we then go to building the strategies. And the strategies are sort of the roadmap for how we're going to get them out there initially and then keep them out there. And so that means consistency. And so, you know, if your friend the dentist comes to me and says, I want you to help me market, I'd look to see what his goals were in revenue growth, in number of patients he needs, what kind of patient, what's the geographic and demographic area. And then I would probably suggest, here's the whole kitchen sink marketing approach. If the sky's the limit, here are some one-off things that you could do to have some steady brand recognition. And then here's sort of a middle of the road. And it just depends on, you know, how committed are you to really telling your story? And it's my vision to help organizations build their strategies, nail their story, and then empower them to do it.
It's really about branding, right? Because nowadays you really have to know thyself, right? But you really have to know, it almost helps the business owner, the entrepreneur, mm-hmm. the business owner, the practitioner, mm-hmm. to back up and rethink their business and get focused again on who they are and why they're out there and who they really intend to help, which may be under the old business paradigm. You call it make meaning as the new paradigm, but the old business paradigm might be make money. And before you could just say, well, here I am, I'm a dentist. But now there's a slow down. Let's really express who you are and who you're here to serve and why.
Right, exactly. And so it has to be that. I mean, there has to be some depth of understanding of who you are. It can't just be, you know, I need more customers. I mean, it really has to be that I want to make a difference. I want to get out there and have people know me and what I do and how it's going to benefit them too. I mean, that's really, really important. It cannot just be, I need more money. And I've had a couple of clients come to me in the past, just two in 12 and a half years of business, that came to me and that was their sole purpose. I just want more revenues. And I did not succeed with them because I wasn't inspired and there wasn't an inspiring story to tell. So in those instances, I could refer to another firm who handles things differently. But, you know, there has to be that higher purpose driving the story, driving the relationships, a true desire to make a difference. If you want lasting success, you need to have that higher purpose.
And people are looking for connection. I think this is what differentiates why somebody, you know, I'm sticking with the dentist for a second just so that we can stick with our own story, but why you might go to one dentist versus another, because people do go online and they look to see who you are and they try and see if they can connect with something about your practice and the community you serve, and even, I guess, in the case of the testimonials, they're trying to connect with the people who are giving the testimonials to say, can I relate to the person giving the testimonials? It's an emotional investment they're looking for now from the people that they're buying from.
Absolutely. You know, we have lots of choices. So if we want to keep running this dentist example into the ground,
we could choose another one, but we'll do it one more.
But I have a great example because a number of years ago, I was looking for a new dentist, actually, for me and my kids. And so I went to Facebook and I said, hey, you know, who can you recommend? And tons of people commented. And one of the ones that kept coming up was a guy that I knew from my synagogue. And he's a super nice guy. And so I thought, oh, that's really interesting. I'll give him a try. And there were, you know, I made some calls. I did some research. And we ended up with him, A, because he was recommended by quite a few people. B, I knew him and I knew that he was a good person. And then C, he's so caring whenever we go. I'm going to say that I don't know that he does much marketing, to be quite honest, but he is so caring to his patients that there's never any room for new patients because he cares so much. And so if I were doing marketing for him, I don't know that he needs it, but I would be including that personality in the story. You know, everybody there is friendly. I go twice a year and it's like they know me and they ask how the family is and they remember that. And that's a mutually beneficial relationship. I feel like I matter. We have to go to the dentist, but I feel like I'm seen, I'm heard. And that's a tagline we've been using is, we see you, we hear you, you matter, which is funny for a marketing or PR company, but that's really what it's all about is, you know, validating our clients and then validating their clients.
And it is, a lot of entrepreneurs are, they have less capital than, let's say, the Amazons of the world. So they don't always get heard. The people who are out in the community contributing don't always get heard. So
right.
How does one, let's say I have a fantastic website and now I look at my website, I can make it as fantastic as I want. But if people aren't aware that I exist or that my website exists, what options do I have to start to create awareness in my community?
You know, it's not as hard as you think. It's about getting yourself out there. And so maybe it's ramping up your social media and not only posting things, but commenting on other people's posts so that they see you more. Maybe it's going to a networking event where you can shake hands and learn about other people. And a lot of this is listening as much as talking. But when I would start with somebody, I would say, how can we get you into local media? How can we get you speaking about your expertise? And maybe it's little, maybe it's at the chamber. Maybe it's writing an op-ed for your local weekly newspaper, which by the way, they're dying for content.
The local newspapers want opt-eds?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they need them usually on a daily basis. And so we have lots of success finding opportunities for people to share their expertise. Like, for example, you know, we work with a school in Sacramento, California, Sacramento Waldorf School, and we succeeded in helping two graduating seniors write an op-ed about their senior project, which was about teens and confidence. And we submitted it to a little local weekly paper. And they scooped it up and they published it. And these two young girls are widely published now. Everybody read it. We shared it all over the place. And it showcased the school. And frankly, this is a school that wants to increase high school enrollment. So So what a great idea to take some of their successful high school graduates, showcase their experience and their work, put it out in the world. And that's a very subtle way. It's not saying, please enroll in our high school. It's saying here's a story by two really talented and capable high school graduates. And, oh, they came from Sacramento Waldorf School. And so you have to think in that way. You know, what can I offer to the world? What do people need to hear? And finding local channels is the first place to start. You know, we don't need to go for, CNN. We can go for the corner newsletter, but just something where people are going to start paying attention. You know, I think some of the best outlets for exposure are ethnic and cultural publications. So the Jewish news, the Catholic newspaper, your community newspaper. Those are outlets that are read, you know, religiously, pun intended, but really people are paying attention, you know, and you might think it's not that important, but people like to do business with some of their own, quote unquote. And so why wouldn't you want to be featured there? So it's things like that that are easy and accessible ways to get started.
We're going to go to a break, but I wanted to ask you one question before we go to break. So sure. Do you find businesses try to go too wide with their message? And, you know, you may have a great product or service and it may be something that works for everybody, but I find that people go too wide with their messages. I wanted to get your opinion. They go into too many markets, for example. And
yes. Yeah. So you're totally right. You hit it head on. Companies do go too wide with their message, not specific enough. And they don't know their audience. And so in writing, we would say the more specific you get, the more universally relatable it is. So if you say it was a sweltering Wednesday afternoon at the shore, mm-hmm. you can start to see that. But if you say, it's Wednesday and it's hot, it's pretty hard to picture that. You're not on the same page. Mm-hmm. And so the more specific you get, the more people can connect with you. And that means focusing your business. You know, what do you do really well and what can you let go of? Which is business development, but it's important. It's an important step on the way to defining your message.
Lynn, stay on the line with mm-hmm. us. Everybody, I'm talking with the national marketing strategist, Lynn Golodner, out of Detroit. She runs a company called Your People LLC. And listening, because we're going to go on and we're going to talk a little bit more about how to get your brand and your message out into the world and get recognition. We'll be right back.
Sure.
We're still looking at a lot of heavy traffic here on the northbound turnpike, a 69-minute ride from the state line up to Route 7 on the Connecticut Turnpike, northbound Merritt Parkway, 45 minutes from Greenwich, right on up to Route 7. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation inviting you to take steps for cures at a walk event near you. Get started at cctakesteps.org. I'm Jay Trelace in the 1490 WGCH Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
A flash flood watch until 11 p.m. this evening. Showers and thunderstorms for tonight. Some locally heavy rainfall, lows 70 to 75. Tomorrow, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, 75 to 80. And hazy sunshine, hot and humid Friday, highs in the low 90s. The Portchef Ferry, your instant vacation for your family and your car. Forget the Throgstuck bottleneck traffic, drive right on board and relax. It's anchors away for summer fun. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably up-level your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173. go. Hello, everybody. I'm here in the studio with Dan today, and he is... Dan, how long have you been working here now?
So I've been working here for about a week and a half now.
Okay.
But I interned here with my high school. I got my senior internship here, so I spent a month here helping out with Lisa, helping out with a couple other shows. And after Josh's departure, Josh was the old board op.
Yeah.
He moved down to Tampa Bay. So after his departure, Bob asked me if I wanted to join the team.
Well, good. I'm glad to have you on board today. So thanks. Mm-hmm. We were just talking a bit and coordinating a bit here. But folks, we have on the line with us still Lynn Galodner, the founder of Your People LLC, which is a public relations, a strategic marketing firm, and a message development firm. She's based out of Detroit, but I really wanted to have the folks in the Greenwich community hear her because she works with nonprofits. She works with successful businesses. She works with startups, and her firm is fantastic. They've gotten a lot of recognition and they have plenty of recognition, but including an article that was just published in Cranes, Lynn, a month and a half ago?
Yeah, it was about a month ago, actually, mid-June.
You have done thousands of articles. Why don't you talk to our audience members about how to write a message that connects? Just some tips that you follow. I know you were giving us some of them about really making it more allegorical.
So, thank you for mentioning the Cranes article. It was a little bit of a rant, but it got a lot of attention because I was talking about how the next generation needs to learn to pick up the phone in order to build relationships and succeed in business. And my kids included, and of course they rolled their eyes at me, but it came from the heart. I was really passionate about the topic. It was timely. It was something that everybody could relate to, but I wrote it from a very specific perspective. So I had an intern in my company who was terrified at the thought of picking up the phone to follow up on media pitching for our media relations clients. Mm-hmm. She was fine sending emails. And frankly, I'll be honest, I don't love picking up the phone and calling strangers who might not want to hear from me. But it is just part of what you have to do. And I've learned over the years, I grew up at a time when that's something we just had to do. There was no other choice. But you learn to not take it personally and to hear the human in the other person. So try to relate in that way. And I think that that's at the base what all of this content is about. So any kind of communications that you're generating, any stories that you're putting into the press or into a newsletter on a blog and social media, it has to be human. It has to be relatable and speak heart to heart, face to face. And so even when we're working in the digital space, any content we generate needs to have that human element and needs to speak to a person and from a person if we want to see some real traction.
What are some of the examples? So let's say you're working with a client, right? You're working with one of the schools you work with or one of the nonprofits or any of the clients. What are some of the examples of work you do for the client and how you incorporate storytelling into that?
Yeah, so I like to put it into two buckets to start with, a broader look. There's internal marketing and external marketing. Internal is far more powerful and impactful, and you're much more likely to see some traction if you put most of your energy into internal. External is something like media relations. You're reaching out to newspapers, TV, radio, blogs to get people from your organization featured or what you're doing, a new product, a new service. And they're both important, but the likelihood of somebody seeing you on TV and just because of that TV segment, picking up the phone or walking in your door and saying, I want to work with you, is really slim. So the marketing research shows that you need to be touched by a brand an average of 7 times before you take action. That means they need to hear from you, see you, and know you in a lot of different ways. And so the most powerful way that that's going to propel someone to engage is a personal connection. So back to the internal marketing, we do a lot of brand ambassador strategies and programs where we try to figure out who are your brand ambassadors? Who are the people who are really passionate about you and what you do? And what would be beneficial to them if we ask them to sort of form a little team, maybe 10 or 12 people, who carry your message to their people. So it's like ripples, you know? And so we come up with the strategies like, where are they? What would motivate them to do the word of mouth marketing for you? And how do we position that? And what's in it for them? And what messages do we give them to share with their audiences? That's a huge part of internal. Other aspects, both internal and external, are, like I said earlier, e-blasts or email newsletters, social media, blogging on your website, which increases your SEO, but also establishes thought leadership and expert voices for you. Events, you know, that face-to-face is really important. So there have to be opportunities to bring people through your door and shake hands with them and really like look in their eyes. And then externally, we mentioned media. Sometimes advertising plays into that. I'm really cautious about advertising because it's important, but you want to make sure it's a good fit and you want to get some reach. So I usually like to find the best outlets that are a fit for a client and have frequency and duration, as opposed to like one ad here, one ad there. You know, let's see where it's your best audience and how can we really invest in that.
The difference between advertising and marketing is that advertising, it's something that you're paying for?
Yes. So you're paying to guarantee exposure. So if you hire me to do media relations for you, where I'm, you know, I find a great story, I'm going to send it out to all the newspapers in the area. There's no guarantee that they're going to pick up the story. It's hopeful, and you want to hire somebody who knows how to do it, knows how to work with journalists. But there are all kinds of reasons why it may go nowhere, despite the best efforts of really talented professionals.
Right.
But an ad, you pay the money, you give them the ad, it's going to run. It's going to be, you know, on whatever page you specify or whatever time in a show, you know, to hear a commercial. So it's a guaranteed exposure, but neither one guarantees interaction. That return on investment is a really complicated metric because it happens over time. And if we go back to the research where, you know, there's seven touches of a brand on average before you engage, somebody calls you and says, hey, Noreen, I want to work with you. And you say, great, where did you hear of me? And they say they heard you on the radio. But maybe they also had a friend refer you to them. Maybe they saw an article you wrote. Maybe they heard you speak somewhere. But what they remember is the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know that those other things weren't also useful in getting that client. You know what I mean?
Right. They may not, the prospective client might not even know what brought them there. It's like something suddenly clicks. And
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, I know who I want to deal with. I want to pick up the phone and call Noreen or call Lynn.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you have to do that. It's a mix. It's like a cocktail. You have to put it all together and keep it going. You know, so I always say slow and steady wins the race. You know, it's something that, you might want more customers or more revenues today and you might need it. You might be really nervous about it. But you're not going to see that spike for 6 months, a year. When you look back, you're going to see that it kept climbing and then it kept staying there and kept growing. But in those first 6 months, you know, people get nervous. They say, I'm paying all this money to a marketing firm or PR firm. You know, what am I getting for it? Well, you have to be patient because no good expansion happens overnight.
Don't organizations have a lot more, we can call it brand assets, but a lot of material in-house already that they can start to publish versus having to create new content all the time? I find that my clients have plenty of material that if they just went in and cleaned it up, they could put it out there. So how do you work with clients to figure out what material to put out there?
You know, it's all about getting to know them and seeing what's important to them and what their style is, what their brand profile. So we have a niche with Waldorf schools, which are a very specific kind of school. And the reason that we work with a lot of them is because we really understand Waldorf. And there are really big differences between those schools and other schools. And so if we were to go into a different, I mean, we work with universities. We actually work with a lot of business universities. And it's because, you know, again, we understand what they're doing and their profile. We have a specialty in education and we could pick up on any school. You know, we love working with them in that way. But again, there's a certain language when you have a niche and you need to have the marketing team that understands that language. You need to give them time to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to, let them run with it. So it's important to have your style, your personality of your brand in all of your collateral. And you're right, you may already have a lot of content that you don't realize you have. So maybe it's even for mining some of your emails that go back and forth within the company. There could be some really interesting quotes or nuggets that you can pull out, make a quick little social media visual on Canva or something like that from a quote that people throw around all the time back and forth, a little quip that you do in the office. Or frankly, I think it's great content to share pictures and quotes and a paragraph from team meetings, team outings, projects you're working on that isn't, betraying confidentiality, but just your process, how you come together, why you do what you do. I think we think about that stuff every day. And if we just jotted it down, we'd be inundated with content.
We think about what every day? We think about what?
It's sort of the inner workings of what we do. So I'm always thinking about and jotting down notes and finding inspiration that drives me into my marketing and PR work for clients. And I don't always write it down, but if I did, I'd probably have a wealth of content that I can use from my own expertise, from things that are exciting as I'm putting together a campaign. So if I worked on a client for a couple of hours this morning and I just jotted down a couple of notes about working on that project,
right,
I'd have a post. I might have a blog. I might have a story for a future e-blast. So we have it every day as we're working. We just don't necessarily record it in the moment to think about how we can use that.
Let's say we do have it. So we decide we're going to put out material each day. And a lot of it's imagery nowadays, as much as I know you and I both like reading and writing a lot. A lot of it's just imagery with less words. But let's say we get it out there and we start posting it on social media and we put the blog on our website, for example. How does one get that material to start to convert to a client?
Well, I just worked with a friend and colleague. She was a client at one point. She is an expert in LinkedIn. And a lot of it, her name is Brenda Meller, by the way, M-E-L-L-E-R. I'll throw her a loop out there for anybody who wants to reach out to her. She talks about how to respond to people who try to connect with you on LinkedIn, to put some words together or in a post. She says on any social media post, you want at least 5 words. So it's not just liking something, but it's engaging. And that starts your conversation.
Social media engagement. That's when you hear people talking about social media marketing, but then it goes to another level, which is engagement.
Yes. Yep. So, you want to start a conversation and keep that conversation going. That's really important. And so, it may take a while to pull in that person as a client, but it's slow and steady. So there was a client referred to me a year ago. I think it was a year ago. And it was a business university in Michigan. And it seemed like a great fit. And we went through all the hoops of doing the proposal and the meetings and all that. And there was a lot of, we choose you, we want you to work with us. And then they had to halt because they had other things going on. And we kept the conversation going. And frankly, I kept engaging with the president of the university, either through email, just checking in, or on social media. When he would post something, I would, and a lot of it was really inspiring. So I would just sort of like it or, say, hey, how you doing? I really like what you shared. They just became a client. So it took a year. And I just stayed in the conversation for the long haul because I liked them. I thought they were a good fit. And I figured something will come of it. Whether or not they come on as a client, maybe they refer someone to us if it's not the right time for them. But if it's a synergy and you believe that you have common ground and there's mutual benefit there, keeping that conversation going until it pans out is really important. That's that human element, that continual connection.
So your people, your firm, your people helps clients who you do offline and online marketing for them. And where do they have marketing departments of their own, or are you doing the marketing on their behalf because they don't have those departments?
So our clients vary. Most of our clients do not have an in-house marketing department. Some might have one person, and so they need help. They can't do everything themselves, and so they outsource one or two of their tactics to us. But there are a lot for whom there is no internal marketing person or department, and so we effectively become that. And my goal is always to empower some people internally to take on some of it, because I don't ever want an organization to be beholden to us and feel that they aren't empowered enough to do so. But, you know, sometimes you just don't have the bandwidth, and 9 times out of 10, a client will say, can you just do it for us? And that's great. That's really, really flattering. But I do think that there are some tasks that you can take in-house, and I'm a big fan of partnering so that it's a win-win all around.
It's interesting because you really have to go into the firms and get them clear about who they are, who their target client is, narrow down, I think initially, narrow down who they're going to go after in terms of what types of clients are ideal for them, in terms of geography, in terms of the price point of the what they're selling, right? So really doing that audit at the beginning, and then getting the people internally, it's great for the firm that hires you, because it is an internal, it's like doing the internal work first. You start to get really clear about who you're going after, and now when you're writing or you're marketing, everything is in alignment.
Yep. You need that consistent framework so that you know what you're saying and to whom, and you feel very comfortable, because it's just consistent and repetitive, and it brings meaning to everybody involved. That's where the meaning comes back in. There has to be some higher purpose driving everything that you're doing.
And the prospective client feels that. They connect with that. Even if it's not articulated, they connect with the fact that you're out there to help them. And if it's, we can't please everybody when we're going out there to market. The idea isn't to please everybody. At the end of the day, we only need so many clients at a time, potentially, at least initially. And then after that, we can go out there and take it to the next level. But initially, most people just need a few clients, and I think they're trying to please too many masters.
You're probably right. I mean, I met with an old client today whom I love, and he came back to me because he's launching a new in a new direction with a new product, and it's not in our wheelhouse, his expertise in this new venture. And so I said to him, you know, I want to do the right thing for you, so I'm referring you to someone else. And it wasn't that, you know, I could have just said, sure, we'll muscle through, but it's about integrity too, and there's enough to go around. You know, I'm not the marketing consultant for everybody, and there is enough to keep us all busy and for us all to do well. And so we have to be generous, and we have to know what our niche is, what our specialty, and who we can help. And then when we can't, we have to generously give them to someone else.
Yeah, that may
really
work.
Important.
And those people that if we're not the right fit for somebody and we give it to somebody else, those people will, what is it? Recidivism? Reciprocity. They'll give us, recidivism. I've done too many shows about the prison system. The reciprocity, they'll give us clients back. Lynn, I wanted you to leave our listeners with some points about what they should do when they go out there to develop their brand, their story around their brand. What are some one or two key points they should remember?
That who they are informs what they do. And so I think we have to be brave to go back to who we were, you know, when we were younger, and what we loved to do, what we're passionate about. And that has to be in the story, and not be afraid to share that side of yourself when you're doing your business storytelling. And the words matter. And so, it's not rah, rah, look at me, everybody do business with me. It's strategic words, and, you know, less is more. So picking the right ones that will really align with your brand and that you can use over and over again, and people can start to recognize you for, that's really important. And so, you know, being true to yourself, sharing that in your story, and choosing the right words strategically will help build a memorable story, and you'll really stand out from the crowd.
Lynn, you're an amazing woman. You're the mother of four children. Oh. You're running this business. It's very successful. I'm really, really thrilled that you were on the show today with us. This is Lynn Golodner. She runs a business, a marketing and PR business called Your People LLC. You can find her on all the social media outlets as well as Your People, YOURPPL.com. And Lynn, thank you so much for being on the show this evening.
Thank you so much for having me, Noreen. It's been a real pleasure.
Yes, good. Thank you, everybody. And tune in next week, folks. We're sticking with social media and digital marketing, and I'm going to have on Chris Cianci of Tribal Vision LLC, and they do more strategic digital marketing. So we'll be talking to them. We're going to be on the business mode again next week. So thanks for joining my show this week. Take care. This is Noreen signing off from Defiant Hustle Radio.